Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This segment is brought to you by the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. The CGA Association of Manitoba is the largest, fastest growing, and most diverse accounting body in the province. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada, with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, check out their website at cga-manitoba.org. The CGA Association of Manitoba, we see more than numbers. Continuing on our look back at yesterday in the free agency world, very quiet day so far today, in case you thought it would spill over to a second day. Looks like everybody's keeping their powder dry to see how the market shakes out. The Ottawa Senators, we mentioned they lost Daniel Alfredson. I'm still a little puzzled by that. Let's talk about their big trade, acquiring Bobby Ryan from the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for a first-round pick in 2014, Jakob Silverberg, their previous first-round pick, and Stefan Nosen, a prospect for the Senators. From Ottawa's perspective, you know, is this the right move?
I like it from both teams' perspective, actually, Drew. You know, Bobby Ryan is a you know, bona fide 30-goal scorer in the National Hockey League. He can skate for a big guy. He can be physical. He's got really good stick handler. He goes to the net, does a lot of good things. He's a first-line forward, and that's what they've added. They've given up Silverberg, who's a really talented winger. Nosen, I don't know anything about, although his stats weren't blowing me away for an overage player in the OHL, but I haven't seen him play, so I can't say. And, of course, the first-round pick has value, but depends on where Ottawa finishes this year and where Anaheim's going to be picking. Right. Anaheim, you open up some money because you had Getzlaff and Perry obviously signed to those huge contracts. You add another first-round pick, and you add some prospects to a system. So I like it from that perspective. Ryan just wasn't fitting in there. If he could have played center for them, he would have been a nice second-line center between Getzlaff and Koivu, and they don't have that second-line center, and that's why they were interested in LeCavalier. They still need to fill that spot, to me, if they're going to compete. But from Ottawa's perspective, you've given Jason Spezza the number one winger that he needs. Spezza came up, you know, obviously played a majority, you know, time there for a while with Alfredson and with Heatley. He's been there for a while now. You're getting him. Alfredson isn't what he once was. We mentioned that last segment. He doesn't skate as well as he did. He can't get as involved as he did. The Senators just didn't have a guy. Mihalik is a nice up-and-down winger, goes to the net. I like his game. He's injury-prone, though. Ryan is more talented than Mihalik. And Ryan right now is the second most talented offensive player on that team. And he's going to play probably with the most offensively talented player on that team, and Jason Spezza, one of the top passers in the National Hockey League. He's young. He's under contract, so you control him for a while. It's not like you've given up three first-rounders for a guy who's a UFA after after the season.
He's under contract for two more years at $5.1 million per year.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked if they resigned him right away.
Now, he's from the East Coast.
Yeah, it's Philly.
He's from the Philly, New Jersey area.
Yeah, so I like this deal from both perspectives.
Has he?
We knew Bobby Ryan was on borrowed time in Anaheim. We knew that he could have been moved a year ago, and Ottawa wanted him. And I always look at a trade like this and I say, and I know, Drew, you like this axiom, the team that got the best player always wins the trade. And not always, but a lot of the time. They got the best player. Jakob Silverberg played in Brynäs and in the Swedish league, and he put up good numbers, but he was a third round pick by the Senators, and at times last year was invisible. And the guy's got tons of offensive upside, but he's 22 years old, and he might not hit his peak for 3 or 4 years. Last year was his first NHL season. And you put Bobby Ryan beside Jason Spezza, I think Bobby Ryan gets 40 goals next year. I think when you think of that top line in Ottawa, there's nothing not to like about that. And I think, you know, Richie mentioned the first-round draft pick. That could be a late first-round draft pick, but that's what you have to give up, because Silverberg isn't a top prospect. He's a guy that will probably be a third liner in Anaheim next year. He was almost given too much responsibility, in my opinion, in Ottawa because of injuries and the fact that they were so young. But and up the middle, Kyle Turris, I know Richie is really high on him, and he impressed me last year for Ottawa.
Well,
and I think Ottawa
not
is
that high on him.
Well,
but I think he's a solid. He's probably going to be at the end of the day a solid third line guy for them, third line center.
Fair enough. Things are going in the right direction in Ottawa. They have that team going in the right direction, and you have defensemen that have come up, and Weirkoch and Andre Benoit, who have come up through Binghamton, and they just, Ottawa seems to have a good plan going forward. And I don't think, you know, people had Ottawa as the front runner to get Bobby Ryan. I think a lot of teams coveted Bobby Ryan. And I think Brian Murray loses Alfredson but picks up Bobby Ryan. I think he was...
It's a pretty decent trade-off.
I said that yeah. was the move that I think we'll look back on and is going to be... And again, guys, Bobby Ryan was drafted second overall behind Crosby in 2005. He's 26 years old. He's not, you know, people think that he's a little older. He's been in the league for so long, but the guy's in the prime of his career here. You're not getting a guy who's
right.
on the downhill. He had a bad year in Anaheim last year, but he's a four-time 30-goal scorer.
26 years old.
He's 26 years old. Yeah. So, I mean, you put, again, Spezza and Ryan on the 1-2 on your top line is one of the better 1-2 combos in the league.
And you look at, you know, we talked about this yesterday on the show with Rick and Brian, and you have a team in Ottawa that's got depth and prospects. Zibanejad, Leonard, you get Konecker in the Bishop trade. J.G. Pajot was really good in the playoffs and came out of nowhere. Patrick Wierkocz.
Yep.
You drafted Cody Ceci last year.
Yep.
So you're able to trade some prospects because you have some guys coming up through the system. And as he mentions, he's a 26-year-old guy. He's not a 32-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you get him, you're hoping at least for the next 2 years, but if not longer. So I do like, and they just drafted Curtis Lazar in this past draft. So, you know, Brian Murray's done a nice job there.
Well, in terms of take the psychological element out of it in terms of losing Alfredson. But, I mean, and strictly in terms of a hockey move, Ryan, the upgrade of Ryan over Alfredson, and, I mean, you can throw in Silverberg there, too. It's certainly a tremendous upgrade in on ice.
Well, Drew, if you talk about the sting that was felt by Alfredson leaving, Senators fans quickly, recovered from that sting when they found out they got Bobby Ryan.
Well, they improved their team.
Bobby Ryan is a legitimate top sniper, right? Like, you could put him as a top 10 right winger. He didn't have a good year last year, but
29 other teams in the NHL would take him.
Oh, absolutely.
Who? Bobby Ryan. Yeah.
If they could, if you could get Bobby Ryan, a lot of teams would want him.
What about the Clark MacArthur signing?
Tweener. Second, third line guy.
2 years, $3.25 million. So, $6.5 million.
$3.25 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess when we were on the air yesterday, I thought it's 3.25 total.
Were you guys drinking on air yesterday?
Well, I mean, I can't believe they paid him 3.25 a year. You sure about that, Drew?
I'm positive. 2 years, $6.5 million, 3.25 a year.
That's a blatant overpay.
So, no, hang on. Your opinion has rapidly changed.
Yeah, that's a blatant overpay. I was okay with it at half of that. But, you know.
you weren't enthused by it.
Better off be a 2 year overpay than a 7 year overpay. 3.25. What? Why?
That's what I'm asking you.
You're the analyst. He's a tweener guy, so I guess they wanted to replace, you know, Silverberg on the wing production, but I'm not so sure that's a smart deal. There's other guys available to me who you could sign for 1 year at probably $2 million, who can probably provide the exact same production, if not better. Never been a big Clark MacArthur fan. He's a tweener, guys. You know, he's not really a top six guy. He's not really a checking guy. That's what he is.
I like a little Clark MacArthur a little bit more than Richie. Let's forget the contract. I really like him. I thought he was good on Toronto last year, and I thought he would be a good fit for Winnipeg. He obviously chose Ottawa over other teams. I'm not sure how involved Winnipeg was. Yeah, he's a third line guy who has scored 20 goals in the NHL, but at this point, I think he's 29 now. He came up through the Buffalo Sabres system. And, you know, I guess Ottawa liked what they saw when they played Toronto last year. So, you know, we'll just say Richie and I disagree a little bit. Former Canadian World Junior member, but I like him. That's because I was a plugger when I played hockey, though. So he's a plugger. Good third-line guy that's versatile.
But then why are you paying him $3.25 million?
That's a good question.
Yeah, you could pay Ezzie the same price.
Richie, if you think about it, the amount that's being thrown around, like if Klo's going to get...
We'll get to the Klo contract.
I don't think I've seen... You know, Ryan Klo, you know, a good maritime boy, but wow, did he hit the jackpot in New Jersey there.
I think Lou Lamoriello was doing some of Rick Ralph's maritime math.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the defensemen that were signed yesterday. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Welcome back. back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. Couple renovations being undertaken at Rumors right now. They'll be closed until the 14th of July. But when they reopen, the best in stand-up comedy is at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Check out their website for all the latest information, rumorscomedyclub.com. Reminder, Steve-O from Jackass still coming here next month, August 14th to 18th at Steve-O. Rumors. Yeah, Steve-O, Remo, Ezzo, Richo.
Yeah. If Rumors is closed for the next, what, week and a half?
Yeah, about that, week or so.
Where am I supposed to sleep?
The dumpster behind Rumors is still open for you, Ezzy. Don't worry about that. Anyways, moving on to the defensemen that signed contracts yesterday in the NHL. I want to start with the Travis Hamonic deal with the New York Islanders.
Love it.
Okay. Do you know how... Hang on. You were okay about the Clark MacArthur deal. Do you want me to give you the terms, or are you sure you love the Hamonic deal?
It's 7 years for 27.
7 years, 27. You know this one, yeah. Yes.
I love that deal. I mean, he's a top four guy. I think he can be a top two pairing guy. He's a stay-at-home, rugged defenseman who can block shots, be physical against the other team's best players, can log time against the other team's best players, which is most important. You're paying him under four a year, and I realize that there's some RFA years in there, but under four a year and you get him locked up for 7 years, he would have made a lot of money in free agent and UFA. And if we talked about it yesterday, you know, pointed out the fact that the Islanders are great at signing players to below-market deals.
Yep.
Tavares? Hamonic? Grabner, Nielsen, they've done a really nice job of that. That team is dangerous. I like what Guarcino's done. Yep. He gets a lot of heat, but he's done a great job with contracts on that squad. That Hamonic deal, again, the craziness of all the contracts that you see out there to be able to lock Travis Hamonic up for under $4 million a year.
And it's his prime, because he's 22 right now. This contract will take him until he's 29. So it's not like you're paying the guy when he's 35 years old.
Great deal.
Yeah, that MBA that Garth Snow has is definitely paying off. But the two moves they made were re-signings, right? They re-signed Nabokov, who will be back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they signed Peter Regan, who is from Denmark.
I like that one,
Franz
too.
Nielsen's also from Denmark.
I like that.
Arthur Staple has done a great job of covering this, yeah. And he was saying a few days before Travis Hamonic signed that they had to lock this guy up.
Pierre-Marc Bouchard also.
And Pierre-Marc Bouchard, a guy who is trying to get his career back on track, but a guy that will get more ice time probably than some other options that were out there. But Hamonic, you know, Jets fans will remember Hamonic and Kane going at it. I believe they even dropped the gloves last year, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe somebody can tweet us out. I'm pretty sure Hamonic and Kane dropped the gloves, and then they went at it again this year. But Hamonic is a guy that, you know, Manitoba boy, the upside is tremendous for this guy. I agree with Richie. I think he is a number one defenseman, and they have to re-sign Josh Bailey as well in New York. But, you know, that was a good contract. They got him for a little bit less, but when you talk about a guy that offers his defensive ability and offensive ability, he's more of a, I'd probably say on the defensive side, but I think the offensive part of his game will come. I believe he's only 22, so he's very young.
And you look at this, I mean, quickly about Pierre-Marc Bouchard, a guy who can create offense, a small guy, he can move, he can skate, and he can create offense, gets to Canada, good vision. $2 million, give him a shot. Why not? What's the downside there? Yeah. Doesn't work out, you get rid of him. Or he goes back to free agency. You look at, to me, and then you look at Peter Regan, a guy who actually liked, he can play center and wing. He's had struggles in Ottawa. Years ago, he was actually pretty productive. $750 a year. You give him 1 year, $750,000. What's the downside? Garth Snow, nice moves yesterday. Yep. A really solid day for him.
And quiet moves, but good moves.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys this question about the Hamonic deal. Mm-hmm. Any parallels between that and the Jets' Bogosian negotiations?
I think so.
Well, Bogosian is 2 more years into RFA, though,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean, it's not an exact apples-to-apples comparison, but can they look at that contract and to some degree maybe bump it up a little bit and say this is your Bogosian contract?
If you're the Jets, you're saying 100% for sure. Now, Bogosian probably has a little more offense in him than Hamonic, so those would be factors. I still think Bogosian's more of a five guy, but 5.5. Ezzy's going to five guys later.
Well, I think a lot of people are hoping that the Jets sign Bogosian to 8 years, which is the max under the new CBA. But when you're talking about, you know, I guess their plan, it's possible that it's 5 or 6 years. I'm not saying that it won't be 8 years. It could be 7 years, right? But I think you definitely consider that deal in the ballpark, even though Bogo's a little bit older than Hamonic, but they're in the same ballpark, as not just as far as contracts, but kind of the style of play. I would say Hamonic is probably more physical, a better defensive defenseman, even though Bogo's got that element to his game, and we saw that improve in half of his season last year. But it's also, I'd have to say, Bogo's offensive upside is higher.
You know, talk about Bogosian. Bogosian's a 1990 birthday, and so is Hamonic. Just the fact that Bogosian came up as 18-year-old.
Right. So they're the same age.
Yeah. I only thought he was a year older, but I guess they're the same age.
Rob Scuderi, 4 years, $13.5 million back with Pittsburgh.
Love that move, Richie, because he won the cup in Pittsburgh.
Shouldn't have let him go in the first place.
Shouldn't have let him go. We talked about that defense that they had in 2009, yeah. Drew, with Hal Gill and Rob Scuderi and Brooks Orpik and Zdeněk Mihalik. I thought one of Rob Scuderi, I think I mentioned this 3 weeks ago, I thought Ferentz was a candidate to go back to Pittsburgh. And they might have kicked the tires. Ray Shiro might have kicked the tires on bringing Andrew Ferentz back to Pittsburgh. But Scuderi, I mean, we saw what he did in L.A. the year they won the cup, and even last year. The guy is what they need. They need a physical top four defenseman. And that's what they got.
That's exactly right.
So just a logical signing all around?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to give him really 4 years. The guy's
he's 34 years old.
Yeah, a little bit worn down, and he plays a physical game, and the 4 years is something that I feel a little more comfortable giving it to Ferentz. I don't really prefer to give it to either guy, but if I'm going to give it to one, probably Ferentz, just because his game's he's a little bit more mobile.
Well, you mentioned Ferentz. He signed in Edmonton, 4 years, yep. $13 million, 3.25 salary cap hit.
You know, I like Ferentz, Drew. I think he does everything pretty well. And I think that he's a guy who's been to three cups. He's a guy who you can kind of play in all situations if you need to. He's going to solidify that back end, which is pretty young. He's going to provide leadership in the locker room, which is certainly necessary. He's a local boy. You know, the 4 years there, I have less of an issue. It's because of, and that team is on a long path in terms of success. So if you add him one extra year, which I think they probably did to get him, and obviously it's home for him, I like that contract. I think Craig McTavish did nice work there.
Yeah, what isn't there to like about this? Everybody saw that picture that he tweeted out of him as a kid wearing that Oilers jersey. It was one of the greatest things of free agent frenzy. He kept it light. But, you talk about Chara so much in Boston, but why was Boston so successful? I think it's a big hole for Boston to fill. Yeah, you've got Dougie Hamilton coming up, but you knew that you put Andrew Ferentz out there with Johnny Boychuk, or if they put Boychuk with Chara, yep. Seidenberg was with Ferentz. The way I watch Ferentz, he's such a solid defender, and he's plays bigger than he is, physical guy. And Richie mentioned he's very mobile, a guy that, you know, we talked about would have been a perfect fit for Winnipeg, unable to get him. But as far as Edmonton, they have trouble on defense. You want that guy to solidify your decor, right? Mm-hmm. There with Justin Schultz. So there's nothing not to like about that move, really.
And you can, you know, start having your left side. You can start having some more solid defenders. You have Smead. You have Ferentz now, and you have Schultz, and you probably still want to get another defenseman, I think, in there if they really want to make the playoffs this year.
But they're building something from where they had really nothing. The cupboard was bare on defense, really, if you look back year or 2 years
absolutely,
ago.
Absolutely, and they draft Darnell Nurse. Future's looking pretty bright. Obviously, in Edmonton, they've got a ton of prospects.
Two signings by the Minnesota Wild. Jared Spurgeon re-signs in Minnesota, 3 years, $8 million, 2.666 cap hit. And Keith Ballard, after he was waived by Vancouver, signs a 2-year, $3 million deal with the Minnesota Wild.
I thought Ballard was another guy. I took a lot of flack on Twitter for this. He's had injury problems, and it didn't work out in Vancouver. That was one of the problems in Vancouver this year, was that Ballard, I mean, everything went wrong for Ballard. But in Minnesota, another team that is kind of short on defensemen, and when you consider the guys that they have there, you bring in Keith Ballard, and he's a guy that can help your power play. He's a really good skater. Gretzky loved him in Phoenix, and then Vancouver, you know, really liked him as well and signed him to a contract. I'm pretty sure they signed him to a contract, unless they inherited it from the Coyotes. Maybe you can check on that. But it didn't work for him, and when it was clear that he wasn't going to sign with the Canucks, I knew that it wasn't going to take him long, and you know, I like that signing. As far as the term, not too sure, but
they get him from
Florida.
Florida. Yeah. Phoenix, then Florida.
He was Buffalo, Phoenix, Colorado. He's been on a bunch of teams, organizations. Yeah, I agree. He's actually a little more physical than people think, and he can skate. His puck moving is maybe not what people, the ability to score and put points up was not maybe what people thought when they drafted him. But I mean, what's the risk there? You're bringing him home. He's getting him comfortable. Vino didn't like him at all, so confidence I think was 100% an issue. But 1.5 for 2 years. So it doesn't work out. Not a huge deal. Spurgeon is a guy who, you know, quietly plays 20 minutes a game. And it's their second pairing defenseman. And so you're not paying ton for him. I like that contract. I'm fine with that.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been any more, and this is just general, not specific to defensemen, any more RFA action? There was a lot of talk, this is the year there's going to be offer sheets.
Well, maybe now that you know who's available, I mean, who's been scooped up and who hasn't been.
So you would expect that could unfold in the next week or so?
After they declare for arbitration and start through that process, you can't offer sheet them anymore. So it would happen in the next little bit.
Right, because I believe offer sheets have to be, or arbitration decisions have to be made by the 10th of July.
I have to check the sheet. I'm not sure.
Well, Drew, I don't know if you want to leave this maybe till the last hour of the show, but a lot of people were asking us about Bogosian. And, you know, the offer sheet situation. And, you know, my personal opinion was if Bogosian was offered an offer sheet, that the Jets would match whatever it was. And as far as what teams would make that offer sheet, I guess that's a discussion that we could have. But there was a lot of concern yesterday, Richie, that Bogosian might get an offer sheet. And out of the big three RFAs we've talked about a lot, Brian Little, Blake Wheeler, you'd have to think that Bogo is probably the most appealing for an offer sheet, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, if you're looking at the compensation released by the National Hockey League, because it's on a scale, $8.4 million is what you have to exceed $8.4 million to garner four first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Jets would get back. Anything between $6.7 million and $8.4 million, the compensation's two first-round choices, one second and one third. Anything between $5 million and $6.7 million, I can't see him exceeding $6.7 million on a cap hit. Would be first round, second round, and third round choice. So the Jets will almost assuredly match anything.
Last couple defensemen that were signed, Jordan Leopold re-signs in St. Louis, and Chris Russell gets traded from St. Louis to Calgary. Leopold signs a 2-year, $4.5 million deal, and Chris Russell signs a 1-year deal. Let me just pull it up right here.
Well, I mean, I'll quickly, as you do that, Drew, Leopold's replacing Russell in Calgary. He's a little bit more responsible. Russell's just not good enough defensively, and he's small. He moves the puck well. Yeah. Calgary likes him. He's an Alberta boy. He'll come in there. He can play some power play, get some time there. He can skate.
Yeah,
Leopold does everything kind of better than Russell, and he's an older guy on a team that's got some youth. So I don't mind either, really. I mean, Calgary stinks, so...
Is Calgary the worst team in the NHL this coming year?
Yeah, right now. Yeah, they probably almost for sure, actually.
I was trying to think about it. I mean, go through the East. I can't think of anybody who would be, I mean, maybe Florida?
No.
Not even. I mean, Florida's got some talent, at least. Calgary's got a whole lot of...
Calgary is, next year is the first year of the rebuild. So they're going to be in very tough... to make the playoffs, and good chance they'll be at the bottom of the West standings.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Nathan Horton in Columbus and the three signings made by the New Jersey Devils. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 1 hour to go on TSN 1290. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Continuing our look around the NHL, recapping yesterday's free agent frenzy. Now, Richard, when you were in New Jersey for the draft,
yes,
and as it's something we've discussed on the show many a time before, you don't when you go away with Ezzy on a vacation, you, anybody, the people in the rooms next to you,
yes,
tend not to sleep very much. So, would you like to update the audience about that?
The first two nights, we stayed there for 5 nights. The first two nights,
it's a beautiful hotel.
First of all, I don't know how you can spend 5 straight nights with one another without killing each other.
You can't. The first two nights, he was wheezing, so it was okay to sleep. The third night, he didn't get home till 6 a.m, so we were fine that night. The final two nights, though, I didn't sleep for more than 10 minutes both nights. So we decided we had to tape Ezzy's snoring because we had to demonstrate to the listeners just how bad his snoring is.
Now, is that the old tape of him snoring or is that the new tape of him snoring?
This is from last weekend.
So this is his snoring that was happening in New York.
I don't think it's that bad.
Sure, you're asleep. Why would you think it's that bad?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
This is pretty bad.
It's not erratic. If anything, there's like a rhythm to it.
So the routine would be that we, at one point during the second last night of New York, I leaned over Ezzy at 4 a.m, slapped him in the face, and said, "Dear God, can you let me fall asleep before?" And Ezzy, what he does is he talks to you. He's like, no, Richie, it's fine, it's fine. And then right back to snoring. Like, mid-sentence, he's back into snoring.
Okay. If we're going to turn this into a complete snoring segment,
It's not a complete snoring segment.
Okay, but whatever. I'd like to defend myself. You know, Richie's the prosecution over here. And, you know, if the defense will rest in 1 second, which is apropos because...
I'll tell you what, if you're defending yourself, you have an idiot for a client.
And if you rest, then they're going to start snoring
again.
Yeah,
exactly, but... So what Richie tries to do, because we go on trips every once in a while, whether it's to the draft or like a football trip, what Richie does is he cranks up the TV and he gets me to fall asleep. Sorry, he falls asleep first, so he's asleep, then I snore, so he doesn't have to, you know what I mean, like fall asleep after me. So I was a nice guy. Richie said, as a friend, Ezra, please, the last night, he's like, I need to sleep. Let me fall asleep first. So I let him fall asleep, but then he cranked the TV up. What he tries to do is he tries to drown me out. But then I can't sleep because he put SportsCenter on loop. That's what he did in New York. He put ESPN SportsCenter on loop, and he tries to keep me up that way. So, anyways, the conclusion of this story is that I have Dave Manuk as a friend. I don't want to mention his name because he wouldn't want to be associated with me.
Naturally.
But
I'm not sure Dave Manuk wants to be associated with
I'm
you.
I'm going to see a specialist about my snoring because I don't want it to jeopardize my friendship. Because I only have one friend. Richard's my only friend.
That's true.
And Gary Lawless has already recommended that you get a sleep apnea machine.
Exactly. I mean, Gary's in tight with the Rana boys. So, you know, I think that you might want to make a call there and see if Gary can hook you up and you know, get that taken care of.
It's always a good thing that I didn't realize how bad it was until I woke up at 7 in the morning the day we were leaving for New York, and I look at Richard. He was sitting up in his bed with his eyes wide open, and he just looks at me in a serious tone and goes, "Did you have a good sleep, Ezzy?" And I knew at that point that my snoring was really bad. So the moral of the story is...
Don't go on the trip with you.
Don't be afraid to seek help. And I've sought help for many things, and snoring is just one of them.
Nathan Horton signed in Columbus a 7-year deal with $37.1 million. How quickly before the Columbus Blue Jackets are regretting this contract?
Oh, he'll be bought out next summer.
The question is, you know, Nathan Horton, and remember, people need to just remember, 8 years is a max you can sign your own free agents to. Once July 1st hits, even if he's your own free agent, you can only sign up to 7 years. In this case, you can sign...
So this is a max deal in terms of term. Yeah,
because they can only sign Nathan Horton to 7 years because he was on Boston. They signed Nathan Horton to a max deal with respect to term. 7 years. He's injury prone. He's had concussion problems. He had the shoulder issue this year. In fact, he's having surgery and is not even going to be in Columbus till December in terms of playing him back on the ice. You know, Drew, to give him this much money... To me, you know, you look at it in terms of he had a great playoffs, didn't have a great season. And Rick Roth mentioned this yesterday. And is he a product of playing with a great player like David Krejci? That's a question to ask. He's more of an up-and-down winger, has a really good shot. When he's engaged physically, he's a very, very good player. And he's been good in the playoffs before. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going for him. He's more of a 4-year, maybe $20 million guy. And in this marketplace, he gets 7 years. What was the total?
37.1.
And when you look at it from that perspective, you kind of wonder, you know, is he it's not the way it is anymore. But to me, like you got to be a franchise guy to get $7 million. 7 years. You got $5.3 million a year. If you look at it from the perspective of Boston, obviously in the playoffs, they were, he was going. But from a team that won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago and the team that was, you know, a couple overtimes away from winning the Stanley Cup this year, who are you picking off the roster first? For one season, you're picking Chara first.
Mm-hmm.
Bergeron, one, probably two. Krejci, probably three. Or 2-3 switch.
Yeah.
Is your fourth guy, is it Horton over Lucic? Is it Horton over Marchand?
We're not even including Rask, because Rask would certainly be in the conversation.
And then Rask in the conversation as well. So obviously good teams have a lot of good players, but... 5.3 for 7 years for a guy that has some health issues in the past.
What's more,
and a guy who wants out of a hockey market doesn't mean you can't be productive. But
what's more problematic to you, the fact that it's the 7 years or the cap hit of 5.3 per year?
7 years more than the cap hit. Again, 4 years, 20 is probably what really he should be getting, and he gets 7 years, 37.1.
Everybody seems to. I mean, that seemed to be
these GMs can't control themselves, and we asked before, why is there a lockout? All these compliance buyouts, giving these players all this money, then signing them again. What's the lockup for? It's for the donors to control their own GMs and control themselves.
Yeah, and we talked about that throughout the... I'm not even going to say the word, because I'm pretty sure that we have a moratorium on that word. It was the worst 4 months ever for hockey fans. Probably not as bad as 2004, but pretty bad. But you can't ignore that. I mean, first and foremost, I think that for the Columbus Blue Jackets to land Nathan Horton says a lot about general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen and a lot about President John Davidson. They're starting to attract. He was a top free agent. Nathan Horton was one of the top UFAs. He had 19 points for the Bruins and was a huge part of the reason why they made the Stanley Cup Finals and came very close to winning their second cup in several years. So, I mean, I like the move, but when people are already talking about him possibly being bought out 3 or 4 years from now, you know that they probably offered him too many years. But yeah. just the addition of Nathan Horton up the middle.
Well, on the right side. I mean, I like the move talent-wise. You're adding a guy who can be physical, can shoot on your right side. You're adding a different element to your squad. You have guys like Gabrick and some grittier guys like Dubinsky and some skill guys. You know, like Johansson, does he ever turn out to anything? And you know, Umberger can kind of do a bunch of, you know, a little bit of both. You got Ryan Murray coming through the system. You got Boone Jenner. The future's bright. You have three first-round picks this year. The future is bright in Columbus. Just the market. It's just like, why does Nathan Horton get 7 years? These guys have no discipline.
The general manager.
Yeah.
And that's the max you can sign a guy now that isn't already on your team. So,
well, let's talk about the general manager who's got no discipline. That ends up being Lou Lamoriello in New Jersey. Ryan Clough, 5 years, $24.25 million. Michael Ryder, 2 years, $7 million. And that's the least offensive of the contract.
That's fine.
And Patrick Elias, 3 years, too. $16.5
million. That's fine, too.
You got to keep Elias there. And I didn't remember, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I didn't think he was going anywhere. But, you know, they paid too much money for Ryan Clough.
Well, what did you see in Ryan Clough last year that tells you he's worth, never mind the value, that he's worth anything more than a year or 2 years in a contract?
Not a lot, because he went to the Rangers, and he even said that one of the reasons why he decided to stay there is because he liked playing on the East Coast, and New Jersey Devils are a great franchise. But I just want to, you know, talk about something really quickly. Since the first lockout, well, the 2004 lockout, I should say, Devils haven't won a cup. And they went to the finals a couple of years back, but Lou Lamoriello actually has a pretty bad track record for signings. And if you look at starting with the McGillney and Malikov signings 8 years ago, or 9 years ago now, I guess it is, but the Devils last year were just a complete mess. And Travis Zajac, who we all like, is from Winnipeg. We've had him on the show before, but he had a bad season. David Clarkson, who just left to go to the Toronto Maple Leafs, he started off with a bang and was among the league leaders in goals, but he trailed off. Adam Henrique is a guy that they still have to sign, and they will sign him up the middle. But he had an off year after having that good rookie season. But, you know, Ryan Clough had no goals before he went to the Rangers in 30 games or whatever it was, and he ended up finishing with 3 or 4 goals, and, you know, he helped them get into the playoffs. But to answer your question, I don't see why you would offer him more than 1 or 2 years. And no. At the age he's at, 28 or whatever
30,
it is.
30.
30, okay, yeah. So there you go. You're probably going to be paying him $5 million and his production is going to go down a couple years from now because he was never a guy that was a 40-goal scorer. He's more of a 15-20-goal scorer at this point in his career, right? So, sure, you're adding some toughness. You're replacing some of the toughness. Michael Ryder replaces the goals that Clarkson was scoring, and Clough replaces the toughness. But to be honest with you, I thought he'd get $2 million a year. So when I think about how much money they're offering him, his agent did pretty well.
He played, you know, he's playing hurt, and that's a factor, too. So take that into account. But he's 30 through 35. You're signing him for 30 through 35 years. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it from that perspective, a five-year deal for a guy who's more of an up-and-down winger, he's a physical player.
Well, he's got a lot of wear and tear on his body already.
He's played a lot of games. You know, he hasn't really been injury-prone in his career. I mean, 82, 75, 76 past three seasons before last, and 71 the season prior. So a guy who plays a lot of games, obviously he's played a lot of playoff games too, being in San Jose, plays an up-and-down style, not afraid to be physical, and obviously that's something the Devils, you know, really wanted, as he was a guy who can play a little more of a physical style and go to the net. Been good in the playoffs before in the past, but 5 years at the numbers at 4.85, you just got to wonder about the system itself. I mean, that contract should be probably max 3 years, 12. Max 3 years, 12.
And $4 million a year would still seem like a lot.
But 3 years
with 3 years, I mean, you're okay with that. It's not going to cripple you. But this is a guy who, like you said, 5 years down the road from now, he's going to be 35 years old. He's got a lot of wear on his body. Mm-hmm. He's not getting healthier.
But he's also a guy, guys, sorry to cut you off, Reggie. He's not a guy that's going to play in their top six. I mean, he's...
Well, better.
He doesn't score enough goals to warrant playing in the Devils' top six.
Well, he's going to... If he's
playing in the top six, they're going to have problems next year.
Eliash is going to center the second line, you have to think, right? With Zajac doing number one.
Yep.
Kovalchuk's one winger. Klo's another winger. Ryder's another winger. And then
we've got Zubras re-signed and Ponikarovsky.
Zubras probably play third line center.
Ponikarovsky is a UFA.
Right, Ez? Zubras third line center, you think?
No.
No, not yet.
What's possible, but Richie's
sorry,
not.
Henrique is going to be a third line center. So you're going to put, Zubras can play wherever. He can play center and wing. So can Eliash. So that depends on what they want to do in terms of matchups.
They'd ideally like to not play Eliash at center.
Right, I know that. So then you have Henrique at your second spot. And you got it. So, I mean, your top six is pretty solid. But another point to discuss, and I want to talk about this about Philly later. What about the defense?
It's pretty weak. It's pretty weak.
I also think, I mean...
But Schneider's going to help there, mind you.
Just talking about it. Yeah. When you pay a guy $5 million, that's the pressure to make up a top six. Like, I mean, he wasn't a top six winger in San Jose. Whether he was getting those minutes or not, he just wasn't, I mean...
Well, he was.
He had one goal, or sorry, no goals.
This year is terrible.
So, I mean, that's an issue for me.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk the Philly moves, we'll talk the Nashville moves, we'll talk Ribeiro in Phoenix, Aguilla in Boston, Filppula in Tampa, and Briere in Montreal. Still a lot of more signings to cover. You'll hear it all on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 20 minutes past 2 o'clock here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Little wallflowers for you coming back from the break. You guys saw them while you were in New York, and they're going to be here on Wednesday.
Great, great. If you have a chance to check these guys out, I don't know if
show sold out.
Oh, it is. Okay, yeah. Well, if you're going, you're going to have a good time. A little Jacob Dylan action. Great, great band.
Always a good line from Jacob Dylan was he said that, because he spells his name with a K. He says, people might always screw up my first name, but they never get my last name wrong.
Yeah. Is he related to Bob Dylan? Bob Zimmerman?
Yeah, Robert Zimmerman, yeah. Claude Giroux re-signs in Philly. 8 years, $66.2 million. Cap hit of 8.275. Yeah,
well, it's different when you give one of the top players in the league an eight-year deal, vis-a-vis giving more of a, tweener for a second-line guy, 7 or 8 year deal. That's the biggest difference. Claude Giroux is a guy you build your team around. He's the number one center in the National Hockey League. He can be a dominant player. He can score. He can pass. He's got heart. He's got grit. He can skate. Love his game.
I don't mind when he's
young enough to give him that deal. I don't mind when good players get paid. It's when the guys who aren't the top players get paid the big money.
What do you think of the Cavalier deal there in Philly?
I'll tell you this much right now. Claude Giroux, Vinny LeCavalier, Braden Schenn up the middle. Philly is...
Well, let's talk about the Philly lineup, the way it's constructed.
Well, Philly buys out Briere to sign LeCavalier, so they have LeCavalier for 4 more years than they have Briere.
Are you just shuffling dollars around?
Yeah, I realize that he has more size and you get him for more term, but it says a couple of things. First of all, you don't think Braden Shen's going to be number two center, because if he did, you keep Briere for a year and then move Schenn up, or you move Schenn up this year. Instead, you sign LeCavalier, who's 34 years old. I don't get that. And then you're looking at the fact that they're spending more money on forward when their defense sucks. And they're trying to trade Braden Coburn to create cap space. Who the heck is going to play defense?
Well, that's my question. I mean, this is a similar lineup to what they had last year in terms of loaded up front, weak on the back end.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a different result this year?
I mean, that's a good question, Drew.
I mean,
I think, by the way, Braden Schenn is absolutely going to be a number two center.
Maybe they don't think that.
Vinny LeCavalier as your second line, I think he can still contribute offensively as your second line center. But even if you need to shuffle the lines a little bit to create the best matchups, but I agree with you, Richie.
Look at their defense.
Their defense, as it's constructed right now, can't afford to trade Braden Coburn. Might have to be for cap reasons.
Let's look at the defense. Kimmo Timonen's getting up there in age, really up there. He doesn't move around as well as he once did. He's not that big of a guy. He can move the puck. Fine. Responsible defensively. He's a smart guy, knows the game. Straight, power play quarterback, makes a nice first pass. Not a big guy, not the best skater. Can burn him outside, can burn him along the boards because he's not big enough. Chris Pronger is going to retire. He's on long-term injury reserve. Braden Coburn does everything pretty well. Well, become a little more physical over the years. Not your first-line power play guy, but second-line guy he can be if you need him to be. He can skate. He can move the puck. Makes a nice first pass.
Yep.
He's a good player.
In an ideal situation, he's a second-pairing defenseman.
Yeah. Mezeros, yep. Andre Mezeros has talent, can skate, can move the puck a bit. You know, he's not the most trustworthy defensively necessarily, can never stay healthy. Luke Shen, again, not that mobile, certainly improved last year. His offensive game is never going to be, I think, what people anticipated when he was drafted. Grossman, 3.5 a year with a no-move clause. He is slow again. So Shen's slow, Grossman's slow. Streit and Timonen don't skate as well as they once did. Okay, and then you got guys like Bruno Gervais, who's 7 guy. You know, Eric Gustafson played some time there, and Bourdon played there. So, you know, who's shutting down Crosby and Malkin? You can score with any team. Never mind the fact of the goaltending. What's Steve Mason and Ray Emery? What are they? It's like these guys love to have questionable goaltending every year. I honestly think it's like they're misogynist. Like, what? Why?
Not misogynist.
Sorry, not misogynist. What was the line?
I was going to say.
Masochist.
That's what I meant.
I'm thinking to myself, not misogynist.
Should they yeah, have... masochist. But no, in all honesty.
We're not going to touch that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one. No, they're masochist. But think about it, though. They bring in Ray Emery, had hip issues, played really well in Chicago. Okay? Is there a guarantee Ray Emery's hip holds up and that he can be number one guy? Are you convinced he can be number one guy?
No. I haven't seen anything that tells me he's going to be able to handle the rigors of a 60-game NHL schedule.
Steve Mason.
I think what's going to happen, Richie, is that Steve Mason and Ray Emery are going to flip-flop whoever's hotter. I see them both playing something like 40 games next year.
You're going to trust Steve Mason to play 40 games and think that that's not going to end the same as having Michael Layton play 40 games for you?
I think Steve Mason thinks he wants to play more, but I don't think... Well, no, I don't. I think...
My mom's giving me the gears about that. I knew I was going to get that.
The misogynist
birthday,
masochist.
Happy birthday, Mom, by the way.
Happy birthday. You're allowed to make fun of me today and today only.
So I made an error. No, but Steve Mason, was Ken Hitchcock coming back and coaching the team?
No.
So maybe one of them turns out. You're coin flipping both those guys, and you're hoping one turns out.
Well, you can have an average goaltender if you have good D.
Or good D and average goaltender, which is, right. I guess, what Lamoriello's banking on in New Jersey.
Yeah, average D and good goaltending. But in Philly, you got poor goaltending and you got poor defense. You might score 9 goals a game, but if you give up 12...
That's right. And when you play Pittsburgh, who's obviously at Scuderi, but more so Boston, who can score with you and play D, then you're in trouble.
Well, I just don't see any reason why the Flyers are going to...
Detroit, same team.
Yeah, why the Flyers are much different than the Flyers of last year. They've reshuffled the deck, and yeah, maybe their offense is a little bit better.
Also Vinny. Like, Vinny can score. Vinny can shoot. Vinny can play your power play. Vinny can move the puck. Vinny's 34.
It's a team. You already got a lot of guys who can do that.
And Vinny doesn't skate as well as he used to. Second line guy. He's a second line center now, Vinny. And I know that's what he's going to play there. I realize because they signed Giroux. Sorry, Vinny's 33. Anyhow, I mean, that's what Briere and Vinny's. I mean, to me, is a coin flip in terms of production.
What do you think about Briere in Montreal?
I like Briere in Montreal. I mean, you're up the middle right now. You have Plekanec, really good two-way center. You got Briere, who's a good skill guy. And you got Galchenyuk. I think they'll probably, having spoken to some of the Montreal guys at the draft, probably move him to center this year. I know they protected him on left wing third line last year. So your three centers are gifted offensively. Now, you're not big enough, again. And if you're going to go far in the playoffs, you need to get bigger. And that Briere doesn't make them bigger, but he makes them more talented. So that conquers one thing. But they do need to get bigger up the wings if they're going to be competing for a cup.
And Montreal was one of those teams that was rumored to be...
Yeah.
And they went out and they got Georges Perros, but he's just a tough guy that they put on the right wing.
But it takes one thing away from...
But I don't mind that, is he, right? Like,
no, I'm just saying that you're... Georges Perros is not Ryan Clough.
Real.
Right.
He doesn't have that offense. But, no, they have to get bigger. But, you know, it's good. I mean, I lived in Montreal for a little bit. I love the city of Montreal. I was just there. What was that look?
You lived there for a month.
3 months.
Whatever.
Well, did I not live there?
Well, you got kicked out of there for your snoring.
Anyways, I like when a guy from Quebec goes back there, and you know, he's small, but I mean, he's talented. A few years back against the Chicago Blackhawks, he could have won the Conn Smythe Trophy. He was that good.
I like what you said.
He's not past his prime, but he still has productive years left.
What do you got there, Drew?
I have Darren Dreger reporting that Adam Pardee has signed in Winnipeg for 1 year and $600,000 on a one-way contract.
Okay, so now the Jets have another seventh defenseman. I'll tell you right now about Adam Pardee. Adam Pardee is a big guy, and he's tough.
People remember him from Calgary.
Adam Pardee cannot skate at the NHL level, and he's not going to be an offensive guy. So, I mean, nothing to get excited about. He's a depth seventh guy. Back to what we were talking about with Montreal. I know people. Do people want to talk about Pardee more? I mean, do I want to Pardee about this?
You want to Pardee on Pardee? Why don't you give another? Can you give any more on Adam Pardee than what you've given?
He's your seventh, eighth guy. He is a guy who just can't skate the National Hockey League level, Drew. You can't count on him on a nightly basis. And with a guy like Mark Stewart, who isn't a great skater, they're never going to be put out there together. And if either of those guys are in your top four, it's a nightmare situation. So he's your depth guy. He's your seven. He might even be your eight.
Makes you wonder how many. I mean, they got a lot of eight guys.
But I think, what, Redmond's still on a two-way, right?
Yeah, Redmond's still on. Well, no, Redmond's an RFA. Redmond's an RFA. Yeah. I mean, would you rather have Derek Meech or Adam Pardee?
I actually rather have Derek Meech. Just because he can move the puck.
Yeah. I mean, when he played for the Jets, I mean, I thought he acquitted himself to be decent.
Yeah, I mean,
role he was in.
Derek Meech is an 8-9 guy, too.
Yeah, I'm saying. I'm surprised that they would go.
Well, let's go over the defense right now quickly if you want to do that. I mean, sure. We're doing this on the fly, obviously, but it's not fun if it's not on the fly.
Yeah.
Their defense, you know, Enstrom 1, I'm just talking numbers-wise. Enstrom's 1, Bufflin's 2, Klitson 3, Trouba 4, Stewart 5, Bogosian 6, Redmond 7. So, and where does Trouba start off, obviously, is a question.
You still got Postma.
And then, are they going to add another defense?
They still own the rights to Archer's, Kolda?
Whatever. But, I mean, if Pardee's signing signifies that the team's not going to make any more defensive moves, signing-wise, then that would be disconcerting to me.
But for $600,000, you sign him, you throw him there, and you can figure it out after the fact? But you can't expect that Adam Pardee is one of your... I mean, if he's your press box seven, that's probably still too high of a role for him.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't want to be one injury away from having to put Adam Pardee in your lineup. Unless they're hoping to sign Redmond to a two-way deal and having him start the year in St. John's. But I don't think
he'd start Trouba in St. John's.
Well, that's also an option. But I don't think that they've necessarily signed that.
If he's signing a one-way deal, I wonder what the plans are for Derek Meech or even a Paul Postma.
Well, Postma...
Those are guys that aren't...
Yeah. Postma, they qualified, and they own his rights. He's an RFA.
They haven't signed him yet.
They haven't signed him. They haven't signed any of their RFAs.
Right.
So Meech is a UFA.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I was assuming... Not assuming, but I was thinking there was a good chance Meech gets another two-way contract, and then he plays with the Ice Caps.
Yeah.
And it's possible that he will maybe get another contract to play just for the Ice Caps. But I look at Pardee getting a one-way deal, and, you know... He'll be a guy that I wouldn't think plays more than, well, less. I would think he plays less than half of the season.
Well, one-way deals right now, they got Stewart, Klitson, Bufflin, and Enstrom.
And then you add in Bogosian when they re-sign him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of room for Adam Pardee there, especially depending on what they do with their other RFA guys.
You have to make you think they're not going to sign another guy to a one-way deal unless they move somebody out.
Well, and that still they haven't addressed their left side number two pairing issue.
That's what I believe is a hole. I think we agree on that in this room that that's a hole. I don't think they have addressed that unless they believe Grant Klitson's to be that guy. Trouba, by the way, if he's going to be playing, is not going to be playing on the left side in his first year in the National Hockey League.
No, they wouldn't have him switch sides that quickly. Anyways, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the more of the goaltenders and some more of the players that were signed yesterday. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Drew, we're going to give you a bone right now.
Thank you. It's odd. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
It's a song, Drew.
No, I got it.
Giving the dog a bone.
Yeah, no, I got it. You're just referring to me as a dog. That in and of itself is what was odd there. Yeah. You know. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. If you missed it, the Winnipeg Jets, as per Darren Dreger, have signed Adam Pardee, ex of the Buffalo Sabres, to a one-year, $600,000 contract.
Remember that last year Buffalo signed Pardee? Remember we were wondering why?
Yeah, now
we get to... Did they sign him to a... I'm checking right now. I think it was a two-year deal, and they got the heck out of that one quick. Or was it a one-year deal? I thought it was a two-year one. Yeah, 2 years, $4 million, and then they got rid of him immediately. They bought him out, eh?
Did they? Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, the Jets signed him. I don't think that it's much to get excited about, but there you have it, folks. 1 year, $600,000, one-way contract. for Adam Party, and as he's already got the party started by tweeting, Winnipeg, let's get ready to party.
That's right.
How many exclamation points?
I don't know. I don't... Three or four? I don't know.
Four, but I think five by the tweet. You were really excited by the party
yeah,
pun.
I mean, party, Richie mentioned this. I mean, he lacks foot speed. He's not a very good skater. But he's a big guy, not really offensive, more of a defensive guy. Hey, Remus has got a little beastie boy. I like it.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what? What other show is going to give Adam Hardy this type of, you know, welcome to Winnipeg? But
it wasn't especially complimentary.
What do you mean? Playing Beastie Boys for Adam Party? I think that's complimentary.
Not while at the same time you're saying that he's not an NHL, he's got terrible foot speed and he's not much of an NHL player.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't much of an NHL player. I did say he doesn't have good foot speed, but he doesn't. And I mean, he's getting the...
You gotta fight for your right to
run. Party with a D.
Yeah. Let's move on to some of the more important contracts that were signed. Mike Ribeiro in Phoenix. 4-year deal with the now flush with cash Phoenix Coyotes? I mean, I don't know. 4 years, $22 million for Mike Ribeiro. Gets reunited with Dave Tippett. I believe they were together in Dallas, were they not?
They were, actually. He said one of the reasons why he resigned there was because of Tippett. So, you know, quickly from a Washington perspective, talk about giving up Cody Eakin and now having nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That team's kind of middling now, eh?
Richie, I hope Mike Ribeiro likes defensive hockey.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to sign there. He knew what he was getting into, signing with knowing that obviously he wanted to play with Dave Tippett. Do you like the signing from the Phoenix perspective? You know, he's not young. He's 33 years old. They're going to have him until he's 37.
Yeah, he was one of the Capitals' top players last year. He's a good playmaker, a really good playmaker, and a very gifted offensive player, and he has a proven track record with Montreal, and he had a lot of good years in Dallas. And they definitely can use some offensive players there to complement Shane Doan. I think they re-signed Lauri Korpikoski as well. It seemed like the market wasn't maybe as big as originally thought for Mike Ribeiro. I don't think he was making $6 million a year. I don't think he's that.
Okay, quickly on party anymore. New Index signed him to the 2-year deal. $4 million, and then he got traded along with Ott for Roy. So that's it wasn't Regeer.
So he got signed in Dallas. Was part of a deal.
So
went to Buffalo.
The contract was over.
Okay. So
sorry to interrupt, Desi.
Ribeiro, Richie.
Ribeiro, excellent passer, slows down the game. Great vision, hits the seams. Not very big. Can play the half boards on the power play. Can certainly play number one center on a team that doesn't have anything really close to that right now. One thing I say, you know, it's a 4-year deal. I believe he's 33 years old. The one benefit there is I think guys like him who don't really rely on their foot speed or scoring or shooting are able to kind of last longer at the NHL level because the game isn't built on anything other than his vision and a sense for the game. So I think that lasts longer. I don't think the 4-year deal is that terrible. This team needs skill, guys, and I think he adds skill. I think Tippett knows what he's getting, which is important because Ribeiro can be enigmatic. So I think overall, I mean, 5.5, eh. I don't mind this deal maybe as much as some others.
Let's talk about the moves the Nashville Predators made because we're going to see them six times this year.
Love their moves.
In whatever division this ends up being called. They get Matt Cullen on a 2-year deal, 2 years, $7 million. They get Victor Stahlberg on a 4-year, $12 million deal. They get Eric Nystrom on a 4-year, $10 million deal. And they get Matt Hendricks on a 4-year, $7 million deal.
You noticed all of the contracts are eerily similar. And what David Poile said was that he wants to get back to Predator hockey. I mean, this is a team that isn't going to win most nights, you know, scoring 6 or 7 goals like the Pittsburgh Penguins can. So they're going to have to get back to playing a gritty defensive style of hockey. And I like Nashville's chances to rebound and get back in the playoffs, Richie, because as we mentioned, Philip Forsberg was acquired for Washington. You know, they're going to give him a chance to play in the NHL next year, and Seth Jones is coming up. So I like most of those moves. I mean, Cullen was playing second-line center for the Wild last year at certain points. Probably shouldn't have been. But these are gritty signings. Stahlberg replaces. You got to remember, Sergei Kostitsyn is not coming back, right?
No, he signed in the KHL.
Right. So, I mean, they had to get Stahlberg or someone to replace some of that offense. So I like most of the moves.
I mentioned this yesterday on the Rona Roundtable. And when you look at what they've added. They've added four players. Yep. Okay, Matt Collins more of a shooter. He can play second line power play point if they need him to. He's a professional. It's a 2-year deal. 3.5 for him is a little bit of an overpay, but it's a 2-year deal, so not a big issue. The three other guys that they signed, Stallberg, I mean, again, the guy who couldn't necessarily crack the lineup of the cup-winning Blackhawks, you know, 4-year deal, and Nystrom, too, a guy who was on waivers a bit ago, but Stallberg, Nystrom, and Hendricks who I actually really like, I think he's underrated. Those three guys can all skate. Hendricks, for a rugged guy who kind of was known as a fighter in the past, Hendricks can really skate. Stallberg might be the fastest player in the league, and Eric Nystrom can skate, too. So you add these three left-handed shooting guys.
Perfect. Doesn't that sound like perfect Nashville players,
they
Richie?
They pressure the puck. They're going to they can do some different things, and that speed is going to create opportunity. And I think that is completely and totally, to me, one of the purposes behind this deal is to become a fast squad and to pressure that way. And I think I think when you do that with the goaltender they have and some of the defensemen that they have, I think Nashville is forming an identity here. Up the middle, I mean, they have options, right? None of these guys are number one centers, but Legwon, Fisher, Cullen can play center.
Yep.
Cullen can also play wing if they need him to. Gaustad is a great faceoff guy. He's a center. You know, Colin Wilson's a natural center. So there's options there. And as you mentioned, the young guys are going to be bringing up. So overall, four-year deals for some of these average players, it throws you off, but they also want to sign some money on the cap because they're close to it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not killing it in terms of spending money. And they're not paying huge amounts of money for these guys. And the character guys under Trotz will flourish more than they would in other organizations. I actually really like Eric Nystrom. I mean, I don't think he deserves a 4-year, $10 million deal, but I like his game. I like Hendricks' game, too. So overall, I don't have an issue with these deals.
Just sort of the way to go about free agency, you know, smart with a plan as opposed to drunken sailors,
yeah,
you know, money.
Yeah, I mean, a little, you know, it's a tad overpay, but overall, you look at it, you know, all those signings all together. Yeah, you know what? David Poile wasn't born yesterday.
Quickly, some of the goaltenders that were signed. Evgeny Nabokov back in Long Island. Any problems with that one?
No, I don't have any problems with that, Drew. I like the fact that it's a 1-year deal because Nabokov, I mean, smaller guy, gets a little aggressive. You can pick corners on him, and if you move him side to side, there's some issues. But he's a solid guy for a team that's still developing. I wouldn't be shocked if they maybe surprise some people next year. I wouldn't be shocked to see a different goalie in the playoffs for them next year. Not Nabokov, though.
Trading for somebody, you mean?
Yeah.
Could be in the market. I got to ask, Anton Khudobin.
Love that deal.
Only $800,000? Are you surprised at that price tag?
He's one of the best backups in the NHL last year.
But, you know, everybody looks good in Boston.
I think if
given the money that some lesser players got, I mean, $800,000, you know, I just seems to me that's a really good
netminder, though.
I know, but it seems like it's a good bargain for the Carolina Hurricanes.
What's good about that is that he'll push Cam Ward more than a Justin Peters would.
You saw how bad Carolina's goaltending was at the end of the year last year.
You know, Cam Ward, you hope, is healthy next year. But, you know, good move. They picked up Khudobin. They also picked up Komisarek, who wasn't going to return in Toronto.
Yeah.
So, you know, Khudobin is a guy that did well. His numbers were good for Boston last year. You know, you always have to consider that. I mean, you always have to consider the system and the team he's playing on. I mean, his numbers might not be as good as a backup this year. But from what I've seen, the guy's got good lateral movement, quick, smaller goalie, so I like him.
Happy Boulin, 1 year, 1.7 in Chicago.
Quickly on Cam Ward. I feel like Cam Ward will have a big year next year with the Olympics pending. But Happy
Boulin might be the number one goalie there. Yeah.
He's got to prove it to himself. He's really fallen off that conversation.
Luongo as well.
Their defense is so bad, though. Like, I feel like he'll have a better year next year. Happy Boulin, Drew. I mean, you're adding him behind a guy who just won the Cup, and he's certainly a capable talent-wise backup, not as quick reflex-wise as he once was, but I think he's just as good as Ray Emery back there, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
I actually, right before Nikolai Habibulin signed, I was we were talking about, you know, maybe the Jets bring him in for, this is his last contract, probably.
He's 40 years old.
1 or 2 years left, probably. Maybe 3, but probably 1 or 2 years left. And, you know, he's going back to a team he's already been on. So I was thinking that might be a good fit. So,
any problems with the Jets re-signing Montoya?
No.
One year, $601,000?
The only question I have there is this. If your coach, Claude Noel, did not trust to play Montoya last year at all.
Well, he was injured, I think, in a lot of the times when he would have played Montoya.
No. He never played him. When he wasn't injured, he never played him.
Richie, just to play, you know, the other side of the decision-making process, is it that he didn't trust him or he just wanted to play Pavlik?
Well, I think everybody says
Noel didn't trust Montoya. I don't think it was that.
I don't agree with that comment. I think a lot of the games that would have been Montoya's games per se fell when he was injured.
How many games did he dress for?
Seven or eight.
No.
Oh, did he dress for it?
Yeah.
He only played, he started, I think, seven or eight games.
I can't, I'll check that out and we'll come back to that.
I've said this on the show for how many you know, weeks. I love Montoya.
I'm not saying I don't like him as a backup. I think he's fine as a backup.
No, I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying that, you know, no, to answer your question, Drew, no problems. I think Montoya is a capable backup. I hope that he plays more games this year.
I can't see. All I know is he played in seven games. I don't know how many he dressed for. But if Noel doesn't trust him, then why did we sign him? Maybe management had a talk with Noel and said, hey, you got to start playing the backup more. Because Pavlik wore down. Pavlik isn't exactly in the best shape in the world, and he wore down.
Richie, Pavlik is not the type of goalie that should play 70 games.
No,
82
I agree.
Games.
And 60. So you either have to trust him, or you have to have, well, basically you have to trust him. So if the coach doesn't trust him, then management basically talked to him and said, you know, you got to play him more. Because if you have Pavlik again playing 65, 70 games, that's not good for this team.
Yeah, Noel's got to trust Montoya like I trust Richie whenever I have legal problems.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Last one, Kerry Ramo in Calgary, 2 years, $5.5 million. Any explanation, or should we just shrug our shoulders and move on?
He's one of those guys that, you know, was a prospect, I believe, in the Tampa system, was good in Finland.
I mean, he was the best goalie in the KHL last year.
I guess he was in the K last year. But
The payroll is $51 million right now. That would probably explain most of it.
The Kiprasov era is over, so.
Let's go to break. One final segment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. One final segment this Saturday afternoon here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Programming notes, starting next Saturday, we shift to our summer schedule, which is 10 a.m. start time, 10 a.m. to 12 noon here on TSN 1290. But fear not, if you're used to us starting at 12 noon, the show will be replayed from 12 noon to 2 p.m. So one more time, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starting next Saturday, live at 10 a.m. on TSN 1290 with an immediate replay from 12 noon to 2 p.m. here on this fine station. Let's wrap this show with one final segment, given that it's free agency.
Winners and losers.
Richard Pollock, we'll start with you. Give us one winner to start.
Well, Drew, I have two winners, I think.
Okay. We'll do one at a time. Okay, and then we'll
winner, chicken dinner.
I think Detroit has to be declared a winner here. They get Steven Weiss for under $5 million a year for 5 years to solidify their second center position on a team that can contend probably immediately. Then they're able to sign Daniel Alfredsson to a low-risk one-year deal. And they've solidified their forward group. They have absolutely an immense amount of talent throughout the roster. They can move the puck. They can skate. There's nothing not to like about the moves Kenny Holland completed yesterday.
Ezzy. A winner or a loser?
I thought you had two winners.
Well, we're going to go one at a time.
Okay. Well, you know, when Richie says he has
There's a lot
two
of winners right in this room right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the winners are everyone out there. I would say that Nashville is a winner for me. I like the moves that they made. I thought Victor Stahlberg might become a Winnipeg Jet. And I like the moves they made. They're not flashy, but you get Matt Cullen, you get Eric Nystrom. Matt Hendricks, as Richie mentioned, he's a fast guy who can drop the gloves. He led the Capitals in penalty minutes for several years. I like those moves that they made. They complement their style of play. So David Poile and the Predators, I think, are winners for me. One of the winners, I guess.
Richard Pollock, another winner or a loser?
Another winner. I think the Islanders are winners, Drew. I'm going to include the Hamonic signing. I think just because of the timing-wise, I think it needs to be included. But Pierre-Marc Bouchard...
The rules are pretty loose in this game.
Yeah, Pierre-Marc Bouchard and Peter Regan are nice, low-risk additions. I actually think both players can contribute. Sure, there's some issues with injury and such, but what's the downside to those?
Minimal. I don't see it. They're one-year contracts.
And he did it last year with boys, and he didn't flip them. He used them in the playoffs, and they gave Pittsburgh a run. And I like what he's doing there.
No such thing as a bad one-way deal.
One-year contract. One-year deal, yeah.
Bad one way we do might be the party deal.
Ezzy, winner or loser?
One more winner, and hopefully if you're listening to us, you're sitting down or you're not driving, but I'm going to say the Toronto Maple Leafs are one of the winners for me. I know they paid a little bit too much for David Clarkson, but, you know, I like that deal. They traded for Boland. I like that move. So, you know, they re-signed McLaren, and they re-signed Bozak, who I thought would also be a potential decent fit for the Jets, so... I'm going to say, you know, Dave Nonis, Randy Carlyle, the Leafs. I like what they did. It suits the type of hockey team the moves they made suit the type of style they want to play. So I'll say the Leafs.
Richard Pulock.
Well, Drew, I think a loser has to be, you know, the Devils in that Ryan Clough deal. And I respect Lou Amarillo a lot, and I think the Schneider deal was a great deal for them. I think, you know, first round pick has a lot of value, but I think it solidifies their goaltending for a long time. But if we're judging it on the vacuum of like kind of yesterday and the days around the free agency, I don't like what he did yesterday. I don't have an issue with the Elias contract. Ryder's is not that terrible in terms of risk, but I just thought the Clough deal was over the top.
I got two losers here.
Only do one.
Why?
Because they're going to go back to Richard after, then back to you again.
Okay. But, I mean,
it's pretty clear that there's a pattern to this.
These two teams go together. There's a theme.
Okay.
Washington Capitals and Buffalo Sabres, they didn't do anything. Yeah. What did they do? They didn't do anything. They lost, you know, Washington lost Ribeiro. Buffalo hasn't done anything. Those are especially Buffalo, they're a team that has to make some moves, and they did nothing. And I don't necessarily know that they're in a situation where they can do nothing.
Okay.
Buffalo specifically,
I can allow that as one loser. Richie,
I'm gonna go out in a winner here.
Okay,
I think Edmonton, you know, they sign Andrew Ferentz, a team that needs defense, solidifies defense. Sign Boyd Gordon, you can add some faceoff and checking element to the bottom pairings there. They certainly don't lack skill up front. They do lack size, but I think there's still gonna be some room to move there in terms of size. I don't think they're done at all. But I do like what they started up here. They didn't give up too much cash, and they didn't give out a 7-year deal. And I think McTavish is starting to put his mark on the team, and I think that will happen throughout this offseason. I still anticipate there to be a lot more moves.
Ezzy?
I'm going to say winner Pittsburgh for getting Rob Scuderi back. You know, they lose Iginla and Morrow, but the nucleus of that team, and they signed Letang to that long-term contract, but the forward group is still solid with Crosby and Malkin and Dupuis and Kunitz. So I think that's a major improvement on last year's decor.
Richard?
I'm going to have a loser for Tampa. I think that Tampa buys out LeCavalier, who's got 7 years left on his deal, and signs Filppula for a 5-year deal. So there's a 2-year difference. I believe Filppula's a little bit younger. But I don't think he's too much younger, actually. He's been around a while. And Brian was saying it. He's 29, so LeCavalier's 33. So yeah, LeCavalier, you have 33 to 40. Filppula, you have 29 to 34. So I understand that difference. But is Filppula as good as LeCavalier? And is the cap difference that significant? I just thought that was an odd... When you include in the buyout, you're paying essentially very similar amounts of money over the course of this time for these players. And I'm not so sure that that's a benefit. I don't know if Filppula is that second-line center answer.
Get it all queued up to go.
Cheers.
Can't pull it off. He wilts under the pressure.
And cheers.
You know, regular producer Tim is right outside. Remus sees him and he freezes. He just can't handle the pressure.
Surprisingly not good.
We love you, Remus. Ezzy, cheer or cheer?
I got a special cheer. Well, first off, I want to wish a happy birthday to Maureen Pulock.
Of course.
Richard's mother. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday.
Still my cheer. That was going to be my cheer.
Well, that's not my cheer.
Happy birthday, Mom.
I'd like to wish her a happy birthday, you know, on behalf of everyone, but obviously Richie's going to wish her a happy birthday. Our biggest fan, listens to the show every week if she can. I'm going to cheer Dominic Moore. He took a year off of hockey.
Well done.
Because his wife had, yes, I believe it was a rare form of cancer. She passed away. It was a really sad story. The Rangers signed him to a 1-year contract, I believe. So Dominic Moore, a good player he's back to the Rangers. He's played for 9 teams, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, sad, really sad situation that happened with his wife, and it's just great that he's back in the game.
Well said. Richard.
Yeah, Desi, how do I follow that up?
I don't know. Yeah, he really...
Somebody play the snoring clip.
Nobody needs to hear that.
You know, overall, I'm gonna have to jeer NHL general managers and owners after putting the fans through. Remember there was a lockout?
Yeah.
Remember that was half the season?
I heard it.
Remember that it didn't make any difference at all?
Mm-hmm.
It was a waste of all of our time. And this free agency once again just has once again demonstrated that it's a complete and total waste of time. And I don't know what else to say. It just, what a waste of 3 months.
I'll wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm going to jeer Daniel Alfredson. I mean, you know, one of the classier players of all time. I just don't understand his logic about uprooting his entire family to go to Detroit when, as far as I can see, there's negligible difference between Detroit and Ottawa when it comes to a chase for the Stanley Cup, and the money was pretty much the same. So unless we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, and there's quite possible that we don't know that, I'm going to jeer him for his decision to go to the Detroit Red Wings. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for this Saturday afternoon here on TSN 1290. A big thank you to our guests, Jim Neal, the Dallas Stars general manager, and Michael Trakos from the National Post. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes and on TSN 1290. Big thank you to our sponsors, the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba and Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Programming note, reminder, starting next Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, followed by an immediate replay from 12 noon to 2 p.m. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And your home for Winnipeg Jets news and NHL news is www.illegalcurve.com. For producer Michael Remus, for regular producer Tim, for Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk, Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.